Holy is the Lord. Clearly. It says word for word what Jesus died for us to have, and it's a lot more than some of us have received. Isaiah 53, and I'd really encourage you to do that. It says that he actually took our infirmities, and he carried our diseases far away from us. Isn't that amazing? Breaking off the past for some people here. Your past has caused you more trauma than you even know. There's someone in here that you think you're ill, but the Lord says your past has caused you trauma and turmoil, and it's affected your physical body. But you know, Jesus took that as well. You know, the Bible says he took our grief and our sorrow as well. Now, this is a really unusual word. We often see God heal knees, but I see something at the very back of the knee. Where it hurts you is behind your knee. God is doing something, and I think he's saying it's a ligament. So if you have a ligament issue in the back of your knee, just say, I receive my healing. Thank you. You know, we've been lately doing a new thing that the Lord has told us to do. They're called receiving meetings. Because God has been teaching me that there's so much that Jesus died for us to have that we have not learned how to receive. You know, we may even have faith that he did it. We may even have faith that it's ours. But if we don't know how to receive from heaven, then we might still go without. And Jesus doesn't want us to go without. He died. He paid a price to release the things. Hallelujah. Give me a second. Hallelujah. Got to drink a lot of water up here. By the way, if you're new to the mountains, if you've not been in the mountains and you came from sea level, please drink a lot of water. And if you have any issues, let us know, okay? We're believing you won't, but last year we had somebody that had some altitude issues and we didn't know it. But we want to know because we have some, you know, oxygen stuff to give you. We have these things you take that are supposed to help, okay? Look past their own issues and insufficiencies and believe the word. The word says that he made a way for us to come in freely. And so he doesn't want us to stay out. Saying there are people here that you've never encountered the Holy of Holies. And I see that there's some struggles in here. I can see that there's some road weariness. There's some, you know, there was just some tough road trips and some even animosity and struggles and frustrations. But right now we just push that out because we're in His room, you know, we're in His place. And we came a long way, some of us, to receive from Him. And we're going to receive from Him. Saw the oasis being poured out. Jesus just gently reach his finger, like the tip of his finger, in and touch that wounded soul. Because you know what we do? We ask him to heal all our outside stuff, but sometimes for him to heal our outsides, we have to give him access to that thing you never told anybody about. There's someone here that you had some terrible stuff happen to you at the age of 8. It's never really left you. I almost want to say it's kind of haunted you. But you've learned to keep mum about it. You've learned not to say too much because people didn't understand. And God wants to heal it because you've asked him to move in some things. Thank you. headaches leaving. I see sinus congestion leaving. There's someone here that has had asthma for years. You know, the Spirit of God loves to heal asthma. I command asthma to go in the name of Jesus. We have people in this room that were healed years ago and have never had it since then. People right in this room. By the Spirit of God, this came on them and they were healed. This is kind of service is weird to you. Just it's okay to receive what God has done. You know, we listen to all kinds of sermons, don't we? We pray hard and we fast hard and we command and we do all the stuff and we quote the word. But sometimes we just need to get in the presence and receive what God is releasing. Amen. Because He wants you to have, listen, some of those things you've been asking for, He wants you to have even more than you want to have it. About letting God burn off all that isn't Him. Saying, consume us with your heavenly fire till there's nothing left but the Holy One in us. How about that? Because then what would people see? Burn it off, Jesus. We don't want all this stuff. We just want you. Spirit, we thank you that you're in the process of releasing what Jesus has done. You're releasing to us tonight some things that we have longed for and looked for, and some things that we haven't even released. understood how to pray for. You know, some of you have had this like groaning inside, like, what is this longing? What is this thing I'm desiring? I don't have words for it. And it's called the heart cry. And it's something that if you're truly born again and you love Jesus, is you have a cry of your heart that says, Lord, I don't even have words for this thing, but I gotta have something from you. It doesn't have language. And God always hears the heart cry. Father, I see him releasing some callings. There's someone here, you had quite the ministry at one time. Ministry, you had quite the ministry. It was quite active, and I see actually you were ministering to lots of people. But somehow, over time, the ministry that you were in or that you were even leading kind of went dormant. No fault of your own, it's just things sometimes with the passage of time, things happen. And I saw God igniting. He had, this is actually kind of funny. You know those things you buy at the dollar store? They go, they're like a little scripto lighter, and they go, foom. I saw one of those in the hand of God. And I saw that he was reigniting the ministry that you thought you lost. And he said, you didn't lose it. It just went through a bit of a death process, as all good ministries must. Hallelujah. You know, every real work of God, it must be birthed out of purity and holiness. And there is no flesh. You know, flesh can't perfect or create or even do really the work of God. So sometimes even when you're called and anointed and appointed and moving in the stuff, sometimes there's a season of dormancy or where it looks like not a whole lot has happened. You say, what is going on? Well, I want to tell you, the Lord is explaining this. Sometimes he says, what I'm doing is very much related to the message of Jesus when he said, unless a seed fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. You know, when he said that, people didn't really get that he was saying, I'm going to go to a cross. And they're going to kill me. It's going to be bad. And it's going to look like all is lost. It's going to look like there's no hope for this ministry, you know. And you guys that left everything to follow me, it's going to look like it's just going to look like nothing's left for you. It's going to look like there's no hope in the world. He said, but unless this seed, which he was saying is me, unless it fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And he was the only one, I believe, that really understood what he was saying. And he was prophesying into existence that that seed that was Jesus Christ would go into the ground. And not only would he raise up himself, but thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who were created after his image. You know, if a seed of corn dies and is truly sprouted and rooted, it doesn't come up a tomato. It comes up corn just like itself. And Jesus died to cause us, thousands and really millions of people, to be born again. Now our outsides don't necessarily look like him. But the inside man, the inner man, the born-again spirit, the new self, looks just like him. You look like Jesus on the inside. And some of you have tough exteriors, tough outsides. You know, there's people in here that you're going to get free this weekend. There's people in here you're going to get set free from that control thing that has bound you. You know, don't wig out on me. God wants us free. He loves you. But what he wants is the real you to come forth. Not the tough, I can handle it exterior. I got this. I can manage this. I'm good. How you doing? I'm good. We got the mask on. And I know I had a pretty good, hearty mask at one time. But when the real us, the real born again, you and me, come forth. See, what Jesus wants, we've tried so hard to show strength, you know, and show faith. And how you doing? I'm in faith, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored. That's great. That's a good confession. Hallelujah. I get it. And I say that too. I am blessed, and truly I am. I'm blessed and I am extremely favored. Yay, God. But what we need to understand is there's something coming forth that's almost like the word burgeoning, to come forth, the real you, the real me. And what has to happen is we have to begin to take authority and say, you know what, I'm going to allow my flesh to die. I'm going to allow some of the things that I thought were so important to be deceased, go on the cross and be crucified, so that this thing, this amazing thing that Jesus is doing, will come forth in grace and glory and power and righteousness, so the earth can see the real him and not my stinky, stinky flesh. People don't need to see me. They need to see him. They don't need to see you. They need to see him in you. The whole earth groans, right? Waiting for the manifestation. Those of you that were with me the other day, you learned what manifestation really means. We taught manifestation doesn't mean he created it. It means he took something that was hidden, that no one could see, and he brought it out into visible, tangible reality. He manifested it, right? So in you is this thing we have not seen, this Jesus, this Spirit of the living God, this new self, the Bible says, put on the new self, which is created after the image of his holiness. You have not yet seen, most of you, there's maybe just one or two in here that have actually gotten to see who they really are in the Spirit. And I don't mean that God told you and you said yes and amen. I mean to really get a revelation of who you are on the inside. See, the reason we don't want to crucify the outside is we've not understood the greatness of who he is in us. We've not understood the greatness of our true identity. So we're here, you know, trying to be what we think people like or expect or hope for. We're trying to put on this face or show or even find value in things that have no value eternally. You know? Now, there's nothing wrong. God wants to bless us externally. That's great. I have no problem with that. God blesses me a lot. But if my identity is in something like a house or how I look or how my hair is done or how much money I have or how smart I am or any of that crud, if that's my identity, then I will live a plastic life and go to my grave never having allowed Jesus to step forth in reality through me. And our purpose here is to manifest Jesus, to take what is hidden, not just what is hidden in heaven, because earth can't see, listen, earthlings cannot see heaven. Earthlings are clueless to what's going on in heaven, and you're their only hope. And if we go around looking like the world system, having the same kind of house and the same kind of decor and the same kind of makeup and the same kind of hair and the same kind of whatevers, we won't look any different, will we? We need to manifest Him, and to do that, there needs to be some crucifixion. And what God is trying to do, He's trying to do this great exchange where we change our stuff for His stuff. You know, I take regular trips to the foot of the cross. You know, when I see something in me and I like, ooh, I don't like what I see there. You know, I saw this little attitude, Lord. I don't like that attitude. That's not of You. You know, what can happen? We can just start to justify it. We justify, well, you know, that's not that big. I'm done with the big sins. You know, I quit the big sins years ago. I got delivered of those. So I'm good, you know. Oh, no. What about the little stinky, sneaky ones? Come on, what about the ones when nobody's looking? Come on. And so, you know, recently a terrible thing happened, and someone that was well known fell into some sin, and it was just you know, terrible. And everybody saw it, and everybody has an opinion, you know. We don't need to be having an opinion. I said, God, how does it work that someone that moves in such in great power can do both? And He said, because if you're not careful, you can train your mind to justify and say, well, that sin is okay. And I had to begin to do some looking on the inside and say, have I justified attitudes? Have I justified certain words? Have I justified some things? And I said, you know, I don't want to do that ever to You, Father. I was reading 1 Peter 1, and he talks about being holy because we love Jesus, you know. Because we love Him, we want to be holy. We want to live in a way that glorifies Him. We really can't do it in the flesh, but God's trying to do a thing to reveal that which lives in you so the rest of us can see Jesus in you. And God's opening something up. You know, this is just the beginning of this retreat, but I see him opening something in the Spirit for us to begin to glimpse the reality of who He is in us. You know, again, in 1 Peter 1, you know, when God tells you to read a chapter and you read it and go, well, yes and amen, then you probably didn't get I actually have to read it and then read it again and then read it again about the third time. Oh, that's what you're trying to know. And I kept seeing over and over verses 10 through 12 where it talks about how the prophets searched, they looked diligently to find, to understand the timing and the things they were prophesying about, talking about us. And it even says that they realized that they were prophesying about us. They were prophesying, think about it, thousands of years ago, they're prophesying by the word of the Lord, by the power of the Spirit. They're talking to us hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. Isn't that something? And they wanted to understand it, but they couldn't. And then he says, even the angels longed to look into it. You know, I didn't bring it with me. I didn't think we were talking about this tonight. But there's cross-references to those scriptures that say even kings wanted to look into this, who we are. It also says in another place, righteous men, prophets and righteous men, wanted to look into it and understand this thing which is in us. And it occurred to me after about the third or fourth time I read it that most of the prophets and kings and righteous men and angels long to look into something that we ourselves have not fully understood. And are we searching it out? Are we pressing into that great mystery that Christ died to do in us? What is the mystery? Christ in you. And you know, I heard somebody preach on this 25 years ago, and I went, tilt, amen, you know, amen. But I didn't really get the revelation, because you know, this is a revelation that is ever increasing. You know, the more you hang out with God, the more the Spirit of Revelation attends you. You know that? I don't know if you know that. the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Holy Spirit of God, wants for us to understand what has really gone on in the realm of the Spirit. We're so familiar with the earth realm, aren't we? You know, we know if somebody said, hey, let's look up what's happening at the drive-in, what's playing at the drive-in movie, everybody pull out their phone. Right? Or what's the menu like down at such and so in the town? We all know. We all know the earth systems really well, don't we? But we have not understood the way heaven works. Not really. And God desires for that to become our normal. To understand the way that heaven works, the way that God speaks, the way that He imparts. You know, one of the things, I said this earlier, but one of the things God has really been impressing me is that we are operating at a low level. He wants to bring us up so much higher. And that Jesus actually already paid for many, many things, released them. And the minute you were born again, I'm talking about the very second you were born again, there was a real transaction in heaven. It's not just a theory. It's not just an ideology. It's not just a parable. There was a real Holy Ghost heaven transaction where you became a new person in the Spirit. That has covenant rights in heaven. And whether you know it or not, heaven is actually home. And you have full access by covenant right to every one of the benefits of being in God's family. You were born from above if you're born again. You're actually born of God. Now, we've heard that phrase too much, haven't we? So we've just, oh, hallelujah, I'm born again, I'm born of God. Think about what that means. Think about what that might have sounded like to Jews who'd never heard of such a thing. Are you crazy? That's blasphemy. What do you mean, born of God? God had a baby, and it's you. Wait a minute, what does that mean? It means that by covenant family right, you have an inheritance that's much bigger than we even understand. It's spelled out in the Word, but without meditating in the Word, we won't understand all that Jesus already died and paid for. And part of the work of the cross, I'm just going to explain it this way. I was preaching in Chicago one day, and sometimes I know ahead a little bit about what I'll talk about. Sometimes He gives me a teaching. Sometimes I'm absolutely clueless. And this particular day, I was in a city church in Chicago, and I was completely clueless, and we were already in praise and worship. And I said, Lord, what is it you want to say to these children of yours? What do you have to say to them? And instantly, I saw something wonderful. Here's what I saw. You know how the Bible says that Jesus ascended to the Father? And He said, He told Mary, remember Mary saw Him in the garden. He said, touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father. He had the blood, didn't He? He was ready to take the blood of the cross, and she caught Him between cross and the sprinkling of the blood upon the altar. She caught Him right, but think about it. So He's got the blood. Don't touch me, Mary. I got this holy thing. It's so pure. It's the most pure thing in existence on the planet or in the universe, most pure thing. The thing of greatest value, the greatest treasure. There's nothing like it. There never has been. And I've got that thing, Mary, and I'm about to take it to the Father. Don't touch me. And so He goes to the Father. Now, here's where I got to peek in that day. I see a picture of Jesus sprinkling blood upon the mercy seat. And what I see is an explosion in heaven, a beautiful, amazing explosion. And what it looked like was golden rain that flowed from the throne and continued to flow, just not just that day, but to today and forever. It never stops. And what I saw is that in that amazing explosion and that golden rain was all the things Jesus died for us to have. That's why I referred Isaiah 53 a lot, because it talks about all these things that He wants us to receive that He paid for. He earnestly wants us to receive. And if we have a false idea about the Word of God, we say, God, wouldn't you do this for me? Why don't you do this for me? Why didn't you do this for me? Where is it? You know, your Word says it, but here it isn't. And we kind of wonder what the deal is, don't we? We've waited so many years for the promise of God. And what God began to show me is that He has, past tense, already released it. That's why so many of the promises say, have. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. You might say, well, where is it? In heavenly places. He just said so. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. And the second you were born again, every promise in the Word of God, I said every promise in the Word of God was attached to your name, whether you know it or not. You gained legal right in the Spirit, not because of anything we did right, because we didn't do anything right, but because of His righteousness. We have been connected to the fullness of the covenant. And we have the legal right to say, I will receive that which you died for me to have. I will receive that which you died for. Hey, I'll receive that which you died for me to have. So what we need to do is understand what He died for us to have. Now, here's the vision. I'm still not done with the vision. What I see is in this beautiful golden rain, I see healing. I see salvation. I see deliverance. I see redemption. Just ping, ping, ping. It like coming down like this beautiful rain. And what I see is people on the earth. Now, this is a bit odd, but this is what I saw. The people were walking around, and each of them had these canisters. And the rain, the canisters had lids on them. And the rain was hitting these closed lids and bouncing right off. And every once in a while, one out of maybe four or five canisters might be open. So a person might go ding and get their salvation. But all the other stuff would go bing and bounce off. Is it possible that God has given us a lot more than we've been ready to receive or understand that we can receive? And so God is desiring us to learn. I believe this weekend this is one of the things we'll learn. You know, years ago God said, I was actually going to preach in Bristol, and God said, you know, my people, a lot of my people know how to give, but they don't know how to receive. And so sometimes we have givers who aren't experiencing the blessings because they don't know how to say, I'll take that which you gave to me. Sometimes we need to appropriate what Jesus has done. So where is it? I already told you. This is a quiz. It's in heavenly places, right? Okay, how many have heard my story about the staging area? I know some people have. So I used to work in a big office, big corporation. We had this huge warehouse. And I mean huge. It took like a really long time to walk around this warehouse. And these big semis, you ever see a loading dock? These big giant semis would back up to pick up the stuff because we delivered goods all over the country. And I remember taking a tour of the warehouse, and they had this really odd thing. It was called a staging area. And it was a giant, big, way bigger than this room. And it was just a big open area of a cement floor. Now, these guys that were called pickers, they might have a forklift or they might go do it manually because some things are tiny and some things are huge, right, in a warehouse. We sold all kinds of stuff. And these pickers would go and get the stuff. Now, in this giant staging area, first of all, let's pretend that wall is the loading dock, and there are these big openings where these semi-trucks will back up, beep, 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 and they back up and attach to the dock. And right behind each one of these trucks is this big empty space on the concrete floor with this yellow tape, and it's the exact shape of a semi. And these pickers, they would come and they would bring all the stuff and they would load the fake, the pretend truck. And they would put the heavy stuff on the bottom. You've got to be careful how you load a semi, right? It's 40,000 pounds. And how many of you know if you put the wrong stuff at the top? I actually was behind a semi that tipped over, loaded wrong. So these guys would come and load the pretend truck in the yellow tape, and they'd go away. They'd never do any more. That's all they did. That's all. The truck would come, and either the trucker or another set of guys would come and take the stuff from the staging area and put it onto the truck. Okay? There is a staging area in heaven. Ephesians says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. Where is it? It's in the staging area. The pickers have picked the stuff. They have put it in the staging area. But we are the trucker that has to come in and say, I will take it. I will take it by prayer. I will take it by faith. I won't be said no to. It's already mine. Here's my purchase order. This has been paid for. Jesus himself has paid for it. Here's my paper. And heaven can't say, oh no, I'm sorry, Mr. Trucker. Oh, here, the blood, yeah, it's yours. Yep, here it is. Here it all is. Load, 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 load. Right? We have to learn how to receive what heaven has already done. And what we do, and I know I was the chief of sinners in this area. I was so ignorant, you know, and I thought, I'll be really honest, when I was young, you know, I was being used of God by the power of the Spirit, and I thought I knew something. Knew nothing, still probably know nothing. But you know, that's a danger. When God starts using you, you might think you know something. But really, it was an extreme error, because what was happening was I had extreme needs. I could see the promises in the Word, but my needs weren't being met. And because I didn't understand the ways of heaven or the systems of the Word of God, that made me ignorant. And so I looked at it like God is sovereign. Why doesn't he come and help me? Why doesn't he heal me? Why doesn't he deal with this situation that is killing me right now? As though it was God's job, right? And some of you know my story, but one day I did what you should never do. I got mad at God and said, you know, hey, I get it that there's trials. I mean, I was 8 years in trials, 8 years in trials, and I really didn't want to live anymore. Pardon me? I said, Father, I get it. There's trials, but when are you ever going to help me? And I said it kind of snotty. I'm not recommending you do this. Nor am I proud of it. But the Lord said to me, well, you've spoken something harsh to me today. So I'm going to say something harsh to you. He said, there's something you need to get. And when you get it, we will go on. And until you get it, we will not go on. And I was like, thank you. You know, for the first 4 years, I blamed the devil. For the second 4 years, I blamed God. I think he's supposed to come in on a white horse and just fix everything, because I know how. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm commanding. I'm doing all the stuff I know to do. And he was saying, you're the problem, Holly. I'm not the problem, Holly. You're the problem. And you know what? I said, thanks. It was like, thanks for the Holy Ghost slap, because that's something I can fix. I can't, you know, I can deal with that. Now, 2 weeks go by, and God says to me, do you believe I am who I say I am? And I'm thinking, you know, your flesh wants to go, well, sure I do. I'm a faith person. But when God asks you a question, don't ever think, listen, God asks because you don't know. And he's going to correct you. So shut up. Well, at least I did know that, so I didn't say anything. I'm thinking, do I believe you are who you say you are? And I started to ponder, and I realized, kind of, maybe not. Now, I say I do. I was in a faith church. I knew all the stuff you say. How you doing? Great. Dying. You know. I knew how to do the stuff. But the fact was, I began to think about, do I really believe you are who you say you are? Well, let's see. You say I'm healed. You say past tense, I was healed. Sure doesn't feel like it. You say I'm blessed. Sure doesn't look like it. I mean, because I was living in some very tough stuff. I won't bore you with the details, but it was bad. For years, it was really, really bad. Just about as bad as it can get. And so I was looking at circumstances and feeling sorry for myself and in a lot of pain, wanting to go home, thinking about suicide, honestly, because my life was so painful. And really, in fact, I didn't believe he was who he said he was. And I realized he was saying, you want to get somewhere with this, you need to start to believe what I've said. And not what earth tells you. Not what your body tells you, not what people tell you, not what you're finding. You need to start to believe what I've said. Am I truthful or am I not? And I realized that by my behavior, essentially, I was calling him a liar. Ow! And so I was actually at work at this point. I was sitting at my desk, and I made a life decision. And I said, Lord, you know, and I'm just going to be honest. I said, I think faith has been my worst subject. I need you to teach me how to believe you and how to believe your word. And if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to learn faith. You're going to have to help me. And I looked down at the carpet, and that carpet was kind of this blue-green, kind of a blue-green color. And I said, from this day, Lord, if your word says this rug is red, I don't care what my eye tells me, I'm going to not just act like I believe it, I'm going to choose way down in here to believe it because you said it, it is red. I don't care what the rug says, I don't care what my eyes tell me, because you said it, because you can't lie, you can't. If your word says it, it's so. And I made a, pardon the expression, a gut decision for life. And it was like the beginning of watching a great cruise ship turn around. It didn't happen in a day, but over time, my life went from complete failure and disaster to complete victory. Fast forward another couple weeks, I'm walking down the hall in my house. And I know some of you heard this story, but too bad. I'm walking down the hallway in my house, and the Lord says, I've laid out a system in my word, and I'm not changing it for you. Kind of in that tone. Well, see, my system was, I'm going to whine, I'm going to beg, I'm going to cry, and because you love me and you're supposed to have compassion, you're going to feel sorry for me, God, and you're going to come and fix it. Or I'll call the prayer line, and some of the intercessors will feel sorry for me, and they'll intercede, and then you'll move. Well, that system didn't work. You know, and I tried. It didn't work. And God said, I have a system laid out in my word, and I'm not changing it for you. And I realized he was saying once again that I had the capability of turning the ship around. So I began to look. See, now, okay, some of you know this, but when he said to me, I have a system laid out in my word, I was for 39 years a systems analyst by trade. That's what I did. Well, systems analysts think kind of funny, right? We look at what makes things work and what makes things not work, okay? And in the word and in the spirit, in the kingdom, there are reasons why things work and don't work, okay? And so it is kind of at first kind of hard because we think, well, God just said, well, I'll do it this time, but not that time. I'll do it for you, but not you. But that flies in the face of the fact that he said, I'm not a respecter of persons. It flies in the face of the fact that he said, all things are possible to him who believes. It flies in the face of whosoever shall say that this mountain be removed and be thou cast in the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And if we really believed that, we would start to go after the thing instead of begging God to move our mountains. I mean, I'm just being really honest. This is, you know, I'm giving you like 40 years of me learning the long, slow way after failing, abject failure in every area of my life. My life wasn't worth spitting on. I mean, I was completely a failure in the area of Christianity. As I began to search the word in a different way, I saw that throughout the scripture, he clearly said over and over again, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, that will happen. If you do this, that will happen. Both pro and con. And I began to realize I was expecting him to give me the result without having done the if. And I began to say, okay, well, it's not so hard. I'm going to do the if and I'll get the then. And you know what I found out? It works without fail. And if it doesn't work, it is because maybe there's a reason and it's not God. See, what we do is it doesn't happen, so we say in poor doctrine, well, I guess that's what God wanted. I guess he said no this time. I guess my neighbor's grandson at 4 years old died of a brain tumor. I guess they said Jesus just wants him with him. Well, I love them and I would never want to hurt them. They're wonderful believers. But I thought, that is not the case. The devil from hell took that kid. He comes to steal and kill and to destroy. Death comes from Satan. Sickness comes from Satan. And so what happens is, and the honest truth is, we don't always know how to explain stuff, so we do the best we can to comfort each other and ourselves with poor doctrine. So don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the way God taught me. And I'm also telling you, if you get this, and you begin to change your soul and your life and your speech and your thoughts. And I didn't learn this in a day. I wish I had. But over the years, I began to learn this. And I can truthfully say I am pretty much walking in victory. And in fact, I'm not even going to say, I'm going to take out the pretty much because I see victory in every area. Does it mean I don't get attacked? No. We see attacks. That happens. But it can't own me, and it can never come out Satan's way. No, seriously. Does he try? Sure, he tries, but he can't get anywhere with it because now I get it. God is trying to raise up us up to a place where we actually do believe the Word of God. See, here's how what we do. And this is actually stuff God has given me, to be honest. I sit with him for a lot, okay? And I ask a million questions because I want to know. And I don't just accept, like, good preaching and good teaching. That's great. I love it. I have some great teachers in my life. Thank God. But I sit with the Lord even after a teacher says something. If I still don't get it, or I want it in the perspective of the Scriptures, or I want God to teach me, I sit with him and I say, what about that? How does that work? Your word says this here, and it says this here, and I'm seeing that there. How does that fit, okay? And if you keep seeking the Lord, a spirit of wisdom and revelation will help you. This Holy Spirit, who has wisdom and revelation, will sit with you and mentor you, because that's his job. He loves to mentor us. So Jesus wants us to understand that when something isn't working, there is a reason. But it's not always what the conclusion we jump to. But we can know this. If it's a Bible promise that we're not seeing come to pass, there is a problem somewhere. We don't know what, but it's somewhere between God and me. Now, it might be me, and usually God's good enough to tell me, well, you have a little thing there, Holly, I want you to deal with. Maybe you need some emotional healing. Maybe that's, you know... Listen, God said in his word, beloved, I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper as your soul prospers. Well, most people have never done a good, hearty soul inspection. I said most people have never really inspected. I'm not talking about your spirit man, okay? And there's only one or two people who probably are asking this question, but aren't they the same thing? No, they're not. It says the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Right? Because your spirit man, that's your born-again spirit. We said earlier, that's the new self, which the Bible says is created after the image of his holiness. Okay? So that's not where the problem is it? But it also says we have that treasure in an earthen vessel. So in your earthen vessel is this holy thing you're carrying around. And that's the purpose, right, is to begin to reveal that holy one, that holy born-again spirit, which is, right, in tune with the Holy Ghost, to release the works of God, the words of God, the power of God, that he might be seen of man, okay? But now what about the soul? What's that? We know it's the mind, the will, and the emotions. Are you still strong-willed? Not talking to everybody. Are you a control freak? Oh, no. Joyce Meyer says she tends to be controlling. She said controlling people know they're controlling. See, I went, oh, I didn't know that. Why is that sin, or why does that cause problems? Because if you're trying to control a situation, you are saying, I want to be God of that. It is a form of idolatry. I love you very much. I'm so glad you're here. Please come back tomorrow. But what happens is when we walk in idolatry, idolatry brings a curse. So if you tend to try to control things and make them happen a certain way and drive the bus, God tells you something and you're like, I'm not listening because I'm going to drive this bus. You're going to drive that thing right off a cliff and then blame God. Why did that happen? God, why did you let that happen? And you're crying, some of you are crying about situation with kids, family, jobs. But what has happened is there has been a break because God isn't really Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay, God loves you. And God wants your victory more than you do. He wants these things you're praying for and begging and fasting and pleading and praying in tongues day and night. Hallelujah. I love prayer. You know me. I love prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't deal with our soul, we're going to say we're hearing no from heaven. But in fact, we've blocked, just like those canisters with a sealed lid, we've blocked the blessing of heaven because we're in idolatry. Is this too tough? Come on, you're hardy, you can take it. You know I'm telling you the truth. So just an example, some of you may have heard this, but how God began to teach me about this thing is he said, did you ever see, in my case when he was teaching me, he talked about two women. He said, did you ever know two women where one of them was the controller and one was the placator? And the one wouldn't buy lipstick without asking the other. And the other would always tell the first one what to do and how to do it and how to do family stuff. They were in charge and they had that leadership role. And then the other one was like, yes, yes, whatever you say, yes, yes. And they wouldn't make a decision without help. And you know, this is what he said to me. This is just an example. He said, the controlling person is in the worst form of idolatry because they're saying, I want to be your God. I want you to hear my word and obey me. Come on, who did that? Satan did that. He said, I want to set up a throne like God. I'm going to be like God. Make me laugh. And he said, then the needy person, he said, they're in idolatry because they're saying, I want you to be my God. Oh, just tell me what to do. Instead of going to God and saying, God, what do you think I should do? Come on. There's some of us in the church that have put leadership. Now, listen, we do love leaders. I'm a leader. We love pastors. Some of my best friends are pastors. And we need to listen to what they say because they have wisdom. I'm going to tell you something. If there comes a thing where that person or me or anybody else starts to come before God, I'd be out of order not to stop that. I had a friend, a dear friend, who I love very much. And whenever he wanted to hear from God, he would come to me. Now, at first, when he was young, that was fine. But there came a day when God said, don't you tell him. He needs to learn how to come to me. And if you're always feeding him little tidbits, he will never grow in his relationship. He got kind of mad. He came to my house. He wanted a word. He was making a decision. He wanted me to tell him, this is what the Lord is saying. And I knew what the Lord was saying. It wasn't that I didn't know. But I knew that more than that, the Lord was saying, he needs to grow up. And I want to give you a picture. If you've ever seen a mama horse wean a colt, the colt will try to come. You know, they're getting big, right? Perfectly big enough to go eat grass. But they just want mama to take care of them and change their little diapers. How many people do we have in the church who still need their pampers changed? And God is saying, change your own pants, for pity's sake. We are not, leaders are not here to change your diapers for 40 years. We're to help you become leaders. And if we aren't doing that, then we're not doing it right. Right? So I had to tell this dear soul, who was really a close friend, and he did get kind of mad, and I said, listen, God wants to help you with this. He wants you to go directly to him. He got kind of mad. He kind of disappeared for a while, you know, as people do. I love you from afar. Very, very far. But about a year later, he used to do some praise and worship, awesome praise and worship guy. And he came and he was telling me, God said this and God said that and God said this and God said that. God was, they had developed a relationship. I started to tell you about horses. So the colt, and when he's little, that's fine, but he starts to get big. She will turn and belt him. Have you ever seen a horse kick somebody? They can do some pretty serious damage. She'll whack him really hard, like, go eat, dude, right? And there are times, don't get mad, there are times when God will not allow somebody to keep changing your diapers, okay? Boy, that was kind of mean, wasn't it? But I'm just, you know, I'm just sharing the news. Hallelujah. Don't always get to pick the message. So when we try to control something, and some of you might go, well, I'm not a controller, perhaps, but have you yielded your life to him so that he really gets to be Lord of even the areas that are kind of a secret? And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about, well, this is the way that my family has always done it, and this is the way that we do it, okay? And God's going, well, that's lovely, but I would like you to do this. Well, we're not doing that because my family does it this way. Can I just say to you, I love you, but that's an idol. And what happens is the minute you get something that comes before God, that causes a curse and a snare. It causes a block. And then we are the people who say, why didn't God do that? It's in His Word that He promised. Well, if you want to have an open bucket, me, I want a big giant, not just a little canister with a closed lid, I want a big old giant bucket, and I want to run around and catch everything. I'll take that, 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 I'll take that. Because what I found is, God almost, I don't even know that He says no when it's a promise. There's things that are not a promise that you can't receive because He didn't give it, okay? There's some things that would be sin, so He's not going to allow that. But if it's a promise, do you know that you can sit and open yourself to God and receive and receive and receive and receive until you just about can't hold anymore? I was preaching in a place, and I knew there were some tough things. I said, I don't have a message, God. Normally I don't care, but I know there's some things that you want to talk about. And, you know, can you give me a hint, a scripture, a verse, an idea? How about a thought? You know, fretting. And God basically was like, you know, He was much more polite than this, but basically His message to me was kind of shut up and sit down, I know what I'm doing. And I'm like, you know, you're right, I'm sorry, I'll just sit here, you'll give me what to say, and I'll say it, it'll be fine. But as I sat there, suddenly I realized He was giving me this huge impartation. And sometimes before you're going to do something, He gives you an equipping. And it wasn't like an impartation. It just felt like wave upon wave upon wave upon wave. And you know what? Sometimes we stop too soon, right? Because we go, I received. Listen, you pull until you either can't take anymore or it's really done. Some of us need to learn how to pull in the Spirit and receive in the Spirit. I was at a real Holy Ghost meeting in Chicago. I mean, it was like just a blowout of the Holy Ghost. I was not ministering, but there was a great man of God ministering, and there were so many people. There were several thousand people there, and so there was too many people to lay hands on. So what they did was they laid hands on a whole bunch of leaders, and then we were off in some back room, you know, way off in the corner, and some total stranger who had laid hands on him was going to lay hands on us. Well, the man came by, and I'll be honest, my faith wasn't strong. And he like tapped me and went on. I felt nothing, and I was going to just get my keys and go on to the car, and the Lord said, lay down. Okay. You know, all righty. You know, I wasn't slain in the Spirit, but okay. And I, to be honest, I rarely am. I'm not much of a faller downer. I want to be. I love it, but it's very, very rare for me to actually fall down. And so I laid down just because the Lord said to, and I wanted to get up. He said, no, lay there. And as I laid there, suddenly I started to go up. Like in my spirit man, I started to go, and I'm like, it felt like if you've ever been on a chairlift going up a mountain, it felt just like that except without the skis. And I was like, alrighty, glad I laid down. I ended up having a 20-hour experience with the Lord. Sometimes our flesh, you're just starting to have a bit of a God thing, and our flesh is like, well, I guess I didn't get it, and I'll just move on. Sometimes you just need to linger a little longer and let God finish what He's doing. There's impartations in the room tonight. See, when the Holy Spirit, we're not anybody, you know. I'm not anybody, none of us, we're not anybody. Except one thing, we've made a covenant with God that we will do the best we can to let the Holy Spirit do anything He wants, any way He wants, and we will try not to get in the way, but we'll try to just be stewards and help Him do whatever He wants to do. And we've seen Him do amazing miracles that are way beyond us. And so when we meet, our purpose isn't to teach some great message or share something we've learned so much as it is to let the Holy Spirit do whatever He wants. And sometimes while I'm talking, I'm actually seeing impartations go into people. So I want to tell you something about, just checking to make sure it's time for this. Some months ago, a friend of mine who moves a lot in the Holy Ghost, I mean, she really is an intercessor. I mean, a real one. And she has heavenly encounters, and she's very, very accurate. And she texted me and she said, I saw God give you three keys. There were three different sizes. And I saw them on this key ring. She said, I don't know what they are. And I said, amen. I knew her well enough to know that she had seen this and she was accurate. Within a few days, I was with my sister at a restaurant. And I got up to go use the restroom. And I'm walking towards this wall. And on this wall, I see an old-fashioned key ring with three like skeleton type keys, small, medium, and large. And I said, all righty. Because it was like in my face, like literally I'm walking right to it, can't miss it. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know what that means, but could you show me what that means? Within another week, I'm sitting in my prayer chair looking out the window, and all of a sudden I have an encounter. Now, we're just going to talk about one of the keys tonight. But these three keys, you know, sometimes God will give you keys to access things in heaven for the body, okay? You may have keys I don't have, okay? So this isn't like an I'm special thing. It's not that at all. But one particular key I want to tell you about. In heaven, you've heard that there are many storerooms, right? There are many, many things in heaven that we need to pull into the earth through prayer and through faith. Through the scriptures, right? The scriptures, by the way, are a window to heaven. A scripture, one single scripture, is a window to the reality of heaven. Not only heaven, but what's yours in heaven, and even how to receive what's yours in heaven. Because we said it earlier, where's your stuff? It's in heaven. God has done what he's going to do. He's the picker. He put it in the staging area. Our job is to reach into heaven through the Word and by the Spirit and say, I'll receive that now. And if you don't know how to do it, it's real simple. You go to your Word of God. You find a scripture or two or five that talk about what's yours. Okay? And you say, Lord, thank you. You said. See, because you know, we're not arguing with God. We're arguing with the flesh, our thoughts, the devil, opposition, sometimes other people, the earth realm. We're not arguing with God. We're saying, oh no, pardon me. This is what's true. Everybody else, just shut up and sit down. This is what's true. And by the way, I'm appropriating it. And it's not rude to God. I used to worry because I would get real bold in faith. And then I would be like, you know, was that too bold? And at one time, I was actually like yelling, saying, you said in your word, you know, because I wasn't seeing it. And I was like mad. Not at God, but hey, you said it. That's mine. What's the deal? And you know what? I felt like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell in your face. And I felt like he was saying, it's about time. I was driving in the car, and I was talking about you said, God. And he said, those are two of the most powerful words you can ever say to me. You said. So I don't care what hell says. I don't care what people say. I don't even care what my body's saying. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what my bills say. You said. And by the way, I will have it. I was driving down the road, just a little off subject, but we'll get back to the key in a minute. Driving down the road, and you know, there's all this talk about prosperity and poverty and the argument in the middle. And I was like, God, you know, this is how I solve problems. I don't try to figure out what I think because I discovered that I'm not all that smart when I'm next to God. And I could listen to person A and person B and they're going to differ. So that's no good, right? This one sounds more logical. Or I like him better. No. God, what do you say? Here's this argument. What do you say, God? Driving down the road. What do you say about this? He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own all the oil. I owned all the diamonds. All the land, it's mine. I own everything, very rich. He said, and I would appreciate it if my church would begin to appropriate the goods for the sake of the kingdom. Where is the treasure? I'm not talking about this right now, but where are the treasures? Where are the finances? They're in the earth, aren't they? Normally, it doesn't rain from heaven. We've heard stories of sometimes it does, but generally speaking, it says, will men give into your bosom? Given it shall be given to you, good measure, shake down, pressed together and running over, shall men. So where's the stuff? It's in the earth, isn't it? So instead of whining or begging or crying, why don't I have this? I don't have enough money to pay my bill. Isn't it better to say, excuse me, Father, you said that you would supply my needs according to or in proportion to your riches and glory. In proportion to your riches and glory. God has so much riches and glory, so many riches and glory, it's far, far greater, makes Solomon look like a poor man. God does not have a problem taking care of us. He has a problem with us having a poverty mentality. Because we've lived in it so long, we've accepted it. If you grew up in poverty, let's get that thing broken. Because that's not God's covenant for you. God wants to pay your bills. And if I have a bill that's not paid, you better believe I'm standing in the doorway going, excuse me, pardon me. I love you. I revere you. You are God and the only God. I will live for you. My prayer is that I will completely live and die for you, that I will hold nothing, not one thing, not one area, nothing back from you. But you said, and I'm going to say this, I either will have the promise of God or know the reason why. And by that, I don't mean like with a rebellious attitude. Is there a reason why? Is there a reason why I'm having an issue in this area? Is there something in my soul or my mind or my attitude or my, am I being strong-willed? Am I being unforgiving? Is there strife in my house? I just heard ding, 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 ding. Because what does it say? Where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. That's a scary scripture. So we can't afford any strife. None. I'd rather be wrong. Even when I think I'm right, I'd rather say, you know what, I'm wrong. Just because rather than get in strife, it's not worth it. It's not. Just let the other person be right. Just, you know why? Because we want the goods from heaven. We don't want confusion, and we don't want every evil work. If you have every evil work in your house, I'm not looking at anybody. I keep my eyes shut for a reason. Hallelujah. But if you have a lot of strife in your house, you might want to look at, is there anything, you know, if you have a lot of every evil work, I'll say, you might want to begin to look at, have I allowed strife? I'm just going to say, don't hit me, women. But we need to walk gently. And if you're a woman and you're running your house or ruling your husband, be careful. Be careful not to let the enemy in. Because you think you know more. Be careful, right? We need to be careful. We need to walk circumspectly because the days are evil, the Bible says. We need to walk carefully, don't we? You say, well, I'm more spiritual than him. Well, really? Because if you were, you probably wouldn't have just said that. Hallelujah. Oh, how did we get there? How? So let's go back to the key. So God shows me one particular key, and he shows me this very long, almost looked like a barn. Now from the ins, or from looking at it outside, it looked like just a long barn. But when he took me inside, it seemed as though it went for miles and miles, maybe eternal. I couldn't see the end. And this is what I saw. I saw something that looked like mangers. You know how Jesus was placed in a manger, okay, which is like a, you know, an area where there's hay, where the animals might eat. And I saw all these babies and children and teens. Now, those of you who are prophetic, you know that most of the time, in parable language, a baby represents a ministry, okay? Often when you're called to ministry, people will start walking up to you and saying, I see you pregnant. But it's not with a baby, it's with a ministry, right? You're releasing something from heaven into the earth. And you might as well go read the story about the Virgin Mary. Because like her, we are called to receive a seed from heaven. Oh, come on, you're called the bride for a reason. There has to be intimacy with the Savior to have the seed in us, right? And we have to carry it to term. And what I saw was all these babies and young children and teens who had never been received in the earth or birthed into the earth by their mothers and fathers. And yes, men do birth ministries. Okay? There's ministries that belong in this room. And the reason I'm saying this is that I saw some things being released. You know, sometimes we're so busy dealing with life in a reactive way. So let me try to describe what I mean. Generally speaking, we get saved because we're in trouble, right? We've messed things up, we need help, and we finally get it. I need help, help, I need help. That was me. Screwed up my life so bad that I'm finally ready to have someone else run it. So I come to God and I say, you know, having been rebellious, wanting to run my own deal, right? Having screwed it up completely, wrecked it, you know, where I'm ruined. And then I come to him and I say, I need you, Jesus, right? And that's how we come to God, and I get that. And then we go along and God's saying, I have a problem, I need you. Will you fix this? Will you fix that? Will you fix my husband? Will you fix my kid? Will you fix my wife? Will you fix my money? Will you fix my foot? Well, that's not wrong, but that is not what we were born again to do. At some point, we need to take a good hard look at what Jesus did on the cross and say, He died for me, now I must die for Him. He died for me. Listen, Jesus went to the cross. And He did it of His own free will. He did it completely by faith, not even knowing 100% that people would say yes. He died a brutal, horrendous death to give an opportunity to people to even say no. And not just people, but even those who were driving spikes through His hand. And even while they're doing it, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing. He did that whole thing by faith. Listen, even He said, nobody takes my life from me, but I'm laying it down and I'll take it up again. He said that by faith. He raised Himself from the dead by faith. And some of you all, you're expecting God to raise you from the dead, but even that, you're going to have faith for. You're going to have to say, God, I know it looks hopeless. I know it looks like this ministry can't happen, can't take off. It looks dead. It looks done. It looks like it's over. But you know what? You said. You showed me something 37 years ago. And I was standing in the backyard, and I was looking up at the heavens, and You spoke to me a promise. Talking to somebody in here. And it looks like it has been killed, buried, covered, and it's hopeless. And all I'm looking at is an old dead grave marker. It seems like there's no hope of this thing ever getting up. But at some point, God is looking for us to say, you know what? But You said. You said, Father. And I've got nothing to offer because I'm, in some cases, You're able to say, I'm dead as well. I can't feel anymore. I went through the death process. I don't have hope anymore. Some people have so died to the whole thing. I'm talking to people who are called. You're called to carry something. You're called to deliver something. You're called to bring something. You're called to deliver a word, a message, hope, art, God knows what. All kinds of stuff in this room. And some of you have been through such a severe death process that not only did the thing die, but a little part of you died, or maybe a big part of you, where you just said, you know, if you don't do it, it ain't happening. And I remember laying in my bed feeling like I was just about as dead as you can get. Because you know when you're dead, you can't feel. You can't feel anything. A lot of people who are in the death process say, I don't care, but they're saying, I don't care out of pain. If you don't understand this, bear with me. I'm speaking by the Spirit. Sometimes people are going through a death process and they'll say, I don't care, but they're saying it out of a wound and pain. That's not dead yet. Dead yet is when you really don't care. You can't feel nothing. You don't care. You don't care if God uses you. You don't care if He doesn't. You can't feel anything. You're dead. And I remember laying on my bed just be like, well, God, if You want to do something, you know, just wake me up when You're ready because I really don't want to do it anymore. You know, this has been not fun for years, decades. So You want to do something, you know, just hallelujah. You wake me up when you're ready. And God gave me that scripture. Nobody takes my life from me, but I'm laying it down and I'm taking it up again. And he said, you have to raise yourself from the dead by faith. That was for somebody. And I laid in bed and said, I apologize. I had given up. And I didn't care, and I still can't feel anything, but I know that it was you. Because I tried to shake it. Did you ever try to shake your calling? I used to call my friend Carol and say, would you please cast this thing of ministry out of me? Ha ha. You know, because it hurts when you're called and can't, you know, you're waiting in the wings, we'll say. And you're waiting for years to be called upon onto the stage to do whatever it is you're supposed to do. And you're waiting in the wings. There's wing waiters in here. Some of y'all have been waiting in the wings for 5 years, 7 years, 17. I waited in the wings for like 35. Let me tell you something. I got to know every sandbag, every, you know, the guy that pulls the rope. I got to know him real well. But when the day finally comes, now see, here's what happened. I was ready to say, Chuck, I ain't doing this. Let's just go out to dinner. Might as well have fun. Oh, we're really going to go there, man. When that's you and you're in the process of dying or you have died to the very thing you're born to do, which will never leave you, by the way. Can't cast it out, I tried. Then you start to say, well, that didn't work, so I'll go do this. It's called the consolation prize. At least that's what I call it. Well, I didn't get to do the thing I was born to do. That's not working, so I'll go do all this fun stuff. The consolation prize. Oh, wait, that didn't work either. Well, okay, then I'll order pizza and I'll watch a movie because that's fun. Come on, you guys, some of you know what I'm talking about. It's called the consolation prize or the consolation prize. But there's some of you in here, you've been waiting in the wings a long time wondering, what is going on? I know God told me that. And you are even thinking, you might not say it out loud, but you're thinking, I know that I already have the gifting in me. I've got the stuff. I've already got it. I'm already used of God. What gives? Well, I'll tell you. What gives is your inner man is ready. Quite often you're walking in the anointing. You already have the juice. You got the relationship with the Holy Ghost. I was moving in word and knowledge when I was like 26 years old, getting people healed all the time. Dumb as a post. Ooh, he's called me to ministry. So clueless. And God began to reveal that in order for the stuff that's on the inside to be manifest on the outside has to go through a complete transformation. And sometimes that transformation involves some of the death process. And we don't like that message, but I'm going to tell you something. If you want to walk in resurrection power, the only way to walk to the other side of the cross, there is another side behind the cross. Have anybody in here ever seen behind the cross? I know I have, I know you have. There's a place behind the cross. It's a real place in the Spirit. But you can't just waltz back in there. You go through the cross to get there. One time, the first time I went there, I didn't know anybody had ever seen such a thing. And I tended not to tell anybody my visions because I thought I came from a church that where, you know, if you had more than two visions in your life, you were a flake. So I learned early, just don't ever share, you know, just don't. And the first time I went behind the cross, God said, this is the healing room of God. Because healing rooms were the big thing back then. Healing rooms. So this is the healing room right here. I was talking to a brother in the Lord, great man of God. And he just says out of the blue one day, he talks about being behind the cross. And he said he loved to worship behind the cross. He said, I'll go to the other side of the cross and I'll dance and I'll worship and I'll sing. I'm thinking, wait, what? What'd you just say? Back up. Say that again. Brother, it's a real place. Sometimes we have cried out for a resurrection power to move in the stuff. A lot of us want to be used. That's a good heart. That's good. Oh, Lord, use me to do creative miracles. Oh, Lord, won't you use me to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. And you're called to do it, and you've already got the stuff in you. Yay. But sometimes he desires for us to be transformed and changed so that our flesh no longer rules. It's a process. It's a transformation process to bring forth, what did he say? Come buy of me gold tried in the fire. We don't like fire very much, but we do love that gold, right? Because what is gold? It's the glory. It's the glory. It's the glory. The glory of God, when it is revealed, is worth any single thing that you or I will ever live through. And some people in here, you said something like I said. I remember, I knew that I was not usable. I was painfully shy. I couldn't talk to anybody. I didn't have anything to offer. I didn't have any skills at all. But I said, Lord, I want to do something for you. I want to win souls, but I can't even talk to people. I'm so shy. I want to do something that will serve you, that will bless you back for what you did for me. And I said these words, and someone in here, you said these words. I said, I will die on any cross if you will release your glory. Strange thing to say. And you say, well, Jesus already did it. Yes, he did. Can we walk in it? Yes, we can. But I think it's better if we carry it like he carried it. Because when your vessel carries the power, then you don't mess it up with your flesh and your stink and your pride and your, you know, thinking you're something, right? Because there's nothing more stinky than a person who walks in the glory and then thinks it's because of they're so holy. Or they have such a righteous life. Or they pray so much. Come on. When your flesh, you know, it says if you do by the Spirit mortify or kill or put to death the deeds of the flesh. He's trying to tell us we can go through a process where he is released in the earth and then we don't try to take the glory. Because see, it's no good to carry the glory if you're going to try to hog it. It's no good healing somebody and then thinking, I healed them. In fact, it's no good wanting to heal somebody if God pulls the curtain back and you see your heart and you realize, I want to heal people so I will feel like I have God's validation or people will see that I'm spiritual. Come on, let's be honest. Most of the people in the body, well, I won't say most, a lot of people in the body want to heal the sick because they really want to feel like that's the validation stamp of God. Now I'm used of God. Now I'm like John G. Lake. Come on. I'm just speaking the truth. We have to deal with our motives. I had the high privilege of being married to a man who operated in very great creative miracles all the time, every day. And you know what I saw in him? He didn't care if anybody saw him. He didn't care what people thought of him. He already knew who he was. He understood his identity in Christ. But this is what happened. He sought God. He sought heaven until the compassion of God, not human compassion, there's a difference. He sought the Lord for the compassion and the love of God to flow through him. And he had so much compassion, he couldn't bear to see people sick. He couldn't bear to see people in pain. He couldn't go down the street and see someone that was obviously hurting, and he would weep. He couldn't watch those commercials for St. Jude Children's Hospital without crying because he had the compassion of God. He wasn't trying to heal people so he could be seen of men because he cared about human suffering. He'd had his back broken. And he knew pain. He knew what pain was. And so he had this tremendous compassion for pain. He couldn't stand for somebody to be in pain. Couldn't stand it. He would drive to any hospital. 3 a.m, people would call. Off we would go. Get in the car. Wake up. Get in the car. He would always go. He would never not take a call. I don't care what time of morning it was. You know, here's me like, oh, can't you call in the morning? He's like, praise the Lord, this is Edgar. How can I help you? From a sound sleep, I'm talking about. Get up, Holly, we're going. In the car we go. Go to the hospital. It's 4 hours away. That's okay. Got something from Jesus. Because he cared about the person and their pain. When he would win souls, it wasn't so because it's what you're supposed to do. Come on. It was because he fervently cared for that person. He didn't want them to suffer the fire. He wanted them to know the glory of heaven. It's a different lifestyle. It's a different Christianity. And until I met him, I was clueless. Clueless in that realm. God's trying to change. We have so many false ideas about what Christianity is. God is trying to expand heaven. He's trying to open it so we go, oh, that's what you mean. So that we're able to embrace it and walk in it. What does it say that the whole earth groans until the sons of God are manifested? We manifest what? Jesus. Till we manifest Jesus in the earth. We release Jesus in the earth. Not just in the outward acts, but in the heart. The real heart will sometimes say, you know what? I need to go back and I need to hide in a room and I need to pray and fast until this thing breaks through. And nobody may ever see me and nobody may ever know me, but I'm going to pray this through till it's through. Some of you are called to intercession. I believe it is one of the highest callings, one of the most honored things in heaven. Because in the earth you're hidden and you're not seen of man. Don't try to be. Don't worry about if people know you are the one who prayed it through. Okay? Don't worry about that. Because you have a reward in heaven. We only can stand here because we have teams of people that pray. I can only stand here and deliver. I can only come and do this because we got people at home. We got one lady, she sits on her couch and she prays and she prays and she prays and she prays. We have people here in this room and they pray and they pray and they pray. And that is the only way we're able to do this. And we know it. And when we get to heaven, I'll probably be way in the back and they'll probably be way in front because they prayed it through. I'm telling the truth. And God said this to me one day because when I started, I was a prophetic intercessor. I still am, but that was the only thing I was allowed to really operate in. And nobody sees that. Nobody sees it. And God began to use me in that, and I was yearning to be used of God. And one day God said this to me. He said, if you were alone on a desert island for the rest of your life, you never saw another human, ever, you could fulfill a massive ministry in this earth by praying. You could change nations. You can change territories. You can occupy. You can set people up. You can take things down. He said, don't you worry about what people see. And don't you worry about how much you're personally manifesting. You just go to that desert island. You go lock up. I have a friend who lives in Michigan, and he would lock up for a week at a time. He would tell his wife, he would take in a whole bunch of water. He would go in this room that just had a washroom, and that's it. Nothing else. He'd say, I don't care what I say. Don't you let me out of this room. Don't you let me out of this room. I don't care what I say. Don't let me out. He'd lock the door. And he would go in there with just water, and he would fast, and he would pray, and he would fast, and he would pray, and he would fast, and he would pray. And he said one day he looked up and he saw the eye of God. His whole life changed. His whole life changed. God will change us when we step into his realm. And some of us need to completely change the way we think because we've been living Christianity in the earth realm and trying to make it happen or make it work or even pray enough. That's a good thing. But as you pray, listen, one of the great purposes of prayer is to transform you so that you understand that home is not here, it's there. And you gain the ability to walk in heaven, listen to heaven, transmit heaven. You are, whether you know it or not, you are a Holy Ghost transmitter of heaven. To speak his will into the earth. Listen, most miracles happen when you speak. It can happen when you lay on hands. But a lot of times, it happens because you see it in the Spirit and go, oh, I release. Jesus said about himself, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Really? How is that possible? I thought you were the Son of God. What do you mean you can't? You raised the dead. You healed blind eyes. You healed deaf ears. What do you mean the Son of Man can do nothing? He said, of myself. He said, but he can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. You know, Jesus wasn't going around saying, I am the Son of God, worship me. No. He called himself the Son of Man. That's a whole different, I'm not going to go there because I would be here all night. But he called himself the Son of Man because he was gaining legal entrance into the earth for the earth authority. Because earth was given to man. I'll leave that for another day. But he said he can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. So what he was saying was, even though I'm the Son of God, the Messiah, the one that was to come, and it was prophesied over me, yes, that's me, but guess what? I don't have any ability in my flesh any more than you do. That's what he was saying. And if you want to work the works of God, I'm showing you how to do it. He said he can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. See, when I was young in the Lord, I thought, well, he just decided to spit and touch someone's tongue or make mud too, and, you know, he just decided, he just had a whim. No. He was looking in the realm of the Spirit. I believe he probably saw it earlier that day. He might have seen it on the fly. One of the first things God ever taught me was that if he told me a phrase or a sentence or even a word, if I would speak it, it would happen. Because it wasn't me, it was him. Easiest way in the world to get somebody healed. He would put me before strangers and he would say, diabetes. And I would say, excuse me. And I didn't know anything about faith. I didn't know about healing, being healed by the word. I didn't know anything. Nothing. But I knew the Holy Ghost. And I learned really quick, if he tells you something and you do it or say it, it's done. Because when he says, let there be light, there is. And so he would say, diabetes. And I'd say, excuse me. Are you dealing with diabetes? Well, yes, I am. Can I pray for you? Yes, you can. 100% of the time, they would be healed. And I wasn't operating in faith. I was operating in what's called a word of knowledge. Some of you are at the early stages of word of knowledge. When I first started operating it, I have a friend. He's older, about 15 years older than me, and he's worked in really accurate word of knowledge for years. I mean, years. Gets people delivered, gets people healed, real accurate. And I called him one day and I said, I got some questions. Now, he answered my questions, but this is what he said to me. He said, I want you to develop that gift. And I thought, develop it? I thought a gift is a gift. You have it or you don't have it. You know, I didn't understand. Totally ignorant. You have in you the Holy Spirit who has all the gifts. How do you develop it? When he gives you something by the still small voice, you don't say, oh, I just don't know if that was God. I'll just hold on to that. I'm afraid of what they'll think. I'll just hold on to that. If you keep doing that, you'll quench it, and then you'll come and say, I don't really hear from God. Yeah, actually, you do. But you've been walking in fear that it's not him, and what will you look like? Come on. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. So how do you develop a gift? Move real gentle, real gentle. Whether it's word of knowledge, whether it's prophecy, whether it's tongues, interpretation of tongues, working, whatever it is, when the unction comes, no matter how still and small it is, just move gently. Because what if it is him? And you don't have to say, surely the Lord would say to you, don't do that. Just don't. You just gently go to the person and say, you know, I have this impression, and I saw this, I think I saw this thing. What does that say something to you? And what you'll find is they'll go, oh my gosh, yes, let me tell you the story. Or they'll burst into tears. See, God's trying to raise up a people that are accustomed to operating in the Spirit. Okay, it really bugs me. People will try to give you a compliment. A pastor tried to give me a compliment by introducing me to his church as a prophet. That was a nice compliment, but you know what? I don't like that because that would imply that I have something that everybody in his church doesn't have. Come on. I'm telling you, every born-again believer is called to operate in heaven as though heaven is their home. Our problem is we haven't paid the price to take the journey. And how do you do it? You pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you communicate, and you ask a million and one questions. And listen, when he gives you an answer, you don't go, okay, I really don't. You say, wait a minute. Wait, okay, I kind of get that, but what about this? And then I'll give you another answer. Now, he may take a day to answer. That's okay. If you ask God a question, if you're not asking him questions, you're not going to hear a lot. If you ask him a question, expect him to answer. And it doesn't matter if it's that second. It doesn't matter. He will find a way. He's not, you know, deaf and dumb. He's not. He'll find a way to speak a language that you understand. He'll send somebody. You'll hear something. He'll say, I'm not sure. Could you confirm that? He'll give you a dream. He'll talk somehow to you. He's very good at it. And if 24 hours go by and you still didn't hear, say, excuse me, God, you know, I still want to know that thing. You know that thing, I still want to know that. And you said, my sheep hear my voice. What about that? We need to be asking questions. Then when he answers, usually it'll raise 5 more questions. Good. I'll say, hey, Father, that's awesome, but now what about this? And how do you see that? And I know you're saying this, but I saw this contrary thing happen over here. Come on, have you ever prayed for somebody and really felt like you were in faith and it didn't go the way you thought? You know what we do? We just, well, I don't understand it, so I'm just going to bury it. Just, oh, well, come on. But you know, it's not rebellion to go and say, you know what, I would really like to understand what happened there. It's okay to ask God. He's your Father. He wants you to understand the things of heaven. My own sister died, and I had some questions about that. You know, I certainly am not judging her. She was a woman of faith. And I went to God and said, can you help me understand how did that happen? I felt like I was in faith. I think she was in faith. What gives? And I'm not blaming you because I know you're, I get that. Finally, I get that now. You're not the problem. The problem is somewhere between heaven and earth, or it's in me, or it's somewhere. I know it's not you. So I'm not coming with a rebellious attitude. I just want to understand. He's like, I'm so glad you asked. Let me show you. Because he wants us to understand heaven. He wants us to understand healing. He wants us to understand how to win and not lose, live and not die, declare the works of the Lord. He wants that for us. Most of the stuff on that table was gotten by sitting in a chair and asking a bazillion questions and then praying in tongues till I understood what he was saying and going through the word and going, oh, that's what you mean. Okay? God wants us to understand the heavenlies because we're family. If any of you have ever heard of Gary Cassie came from abject poverty, horrible debt, and he was weeping and saying, God, what's wrong? We're Christians. We love you. We're in church every Sunday. We're doing the best we know. What's wrong? He was sick and he was broke and they were about to take his house and his car was smoking. He's weeping and sick from the stress of it. God says to him, learn how my kingdom operates. He went and got his wife and he said, I think we're doing this wrong. And they began to study the kingdom and walked out of debt without declaring bankruptcy. Walked into owning, I forget if he owns 2 or 3 companies, teaches people how to get out of debt. Very, very used of God in many, many ways. He said this thing, I want to share it with you. He said, when my son sits down at the breakfast table, he doesn't say to me, okay, what do I need to do to earn my cereal? You know what he says? He says, pass the cereal. And he said, he doesn't even say, please. And he said, you know what I do? I pass the cereal. And he said, and you know why I pass the cereal? Because his last name is Cassie. You get it? You have been born from above. You have legal access and covenant right to all that heaven affords. All that heaven affords is spelled out in the Word of God with great clarity. And so it really is worth looking through the promise and saying, wait, this belongs to me, and this belongs to me, and that belongs to me, and that belongs to me. And the devil will come and say, well, but God didn't do it yet. I don't care. That belongs to me. And if it hadn't happened yet, it's probably because I didn't pull it. It's probably because I didn't have faith or you were in my way and I believed you and you're lying. We have to learn how to win the battle of the thoughts. We have to learn how to take authority over the lying devil who says, well, it's just always going to be this way. I beg to differ. We need to learn how to cut him off at the pass. I mean immediately. And say, oh no, it is written, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper or succeed. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I do hereby condemn. For that's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Handle that, Buster. We need to get in his face and say, one of us is going down, and guess what? It's not going to be me. We need to begin to believe the word. Jesus said, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All. Well, I just feel like that one's, you know, territorial. Okay, go in the spirit and kill him. Don't tell me you're afraid of a devil. Just don't. go in the Spirit and look down on him from on high, God will kill him through you. I have seen it. I have seen God depose territorial principalities and put a holy angel in place. Clean up the joint. Occupy till I come. Take the territory. And I'm going to tell you something. If you take it there, he'll take it here. You take it there, it'll be taken here. Now, don't do it in your flesh. Your flesh doesn't have the ability. Your flesh doesn't have it. But your spirit, man, if you hook up with God, there's nothing shall be impossible to you. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to move in the Spirit. We need to learn how to operate in the authority of the Spirit realm. It is free to all of us. You say, well, that sounds like work. Well, you'll probably never get it then. Because it is. It is work. About 35 years ago, I sat under a lady who preached like her hair was on fire. She'd been slipping in and out of heaven for years, and she knew the realm of the Spirit, and she preached God and His kingdom. I mean, she preached the glory, and she understood the glory back in the day when you didn't hear a lot about that. And she walked towards me in a meeting, and when she walked towards me, I felt the fire, heat. My face got a sunburn from listening to a cassette tape in the olden days. Burned. My face got burned with the fire and the glory. So she didn't have to tell me that she'd been to heaven. I knew that she'd been. She didn't have to persuade me. I knew it. And she said, I'm trying to make you jealous for the presence and the glory of the King. I'm trying to make you so hungry that you'll do whatever it takes. And I remember driving in the car saying, I used to want this, that, and the other. I don't care about nothing. That's what I want. She said, I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. And I was in my 20s, and I said, I don't even know what that means, God, but I want to spend my life learning what means the walk of the Spirit. I want to understand what it is to walk in the heavenlies, to release the glory in the earth. I want to learn what it means to be a child of the Spirit of God, to be a child of the King, to walk in the Spirit. And one day she was preaching, and she said, I'll tell you how to do it. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And I thought, well, I can do that. And I made up my mind. I was going to live a life of praying in the Spirit. And what I learned, I didn't know anything at first. But one thing I learned is that as I prayed in the Spirit, A, I was changed. B, the Spirit of God was speaking the will of God into the earth. He was speaking the perfect will of God into situations that I don't even know enough to pray right about. He knows what we need. He knows the situation. You want to pray for politics or the president or the election or the storm or whatever situations in your life, pray in the Spirit. Yield it to the Holy Spirit. Say, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. I don't even know how to pray for that situation. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit Himself makes intercession through us. Sometimes with groanings that can't be understood. Does it sound like work? It is. It's a labor. He said, labor to enter the rest. You know, at first I didn't know anything. I'd walk up and down the sanctuary, praying tongues, praying tongues, praying tongues. Didn't see, didn't hear, nothing, nothing, nothing. Kept walking up and down, praying tongues, praying tongues, praying tongues, praying tongues. Little by little by little, I began to hear, began to see, began to operate in the gifts. Little by little by little by little. God has us on a journey. But some of you, I'm seeing, are seated by the side of the road because you got tired, and I understand what tired means. Some of you are road weary. This isn't everybody, but I saw some people that were like, this is too hard. This is too much work. And you sat down by the side of the road and sort of hoped that God would come. Now, God loves you, and He's not mad at you. But we have something to do for Jesus. He did something for us. And I'm trying to make you hungry enough to say, if it's the last thing I do on earth, I'm going to fulfill the purpose for which I was born. If it is the last thing I do, when I stand before God, I want to be able to say with Paul, I ran my race. I finished my course. I did it. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I want to be able to say on that day, I don't care if I live 50 more years or 5 more days. It doesn't matter to me. That doesn't matter. I'm ready to go. I long to go. I love heaven. I love heaven. I will have no problem. Go into heaven, none. I'm the Count me in. No matter how long I live, I want to be able to say with Paul, you know, I know I'm not a perfect person. I don't think any of us are perfect except Jesus. But I do believe we can press into Him to a place where we have done what we were born to do, what we were put on this earth to do. I told you about the keys with the babies and the children because there are callings, there are anointings, there are impartations, and I believe there are ministries that have not been received, some of them from prior generations, some of them from this generation, and some of them in this room. Catherine Kuhlman said, and she was a woman of the Spirit, so I have no reason to doubt her. She said, God tried to give this ministry, to five other people, but they didn't want it or they didn't want to pay that price. But she said, I went before God and I had nothing to give Him. She said, I had no gifts. I had nothing to offer Him. She said, I didn't even have hair. She said, I was born with red fuzz. She said, so I went before the Lord and I said, I got nothing to give you, but if you can use nothing, here it is. Here's my nothing. If you can make something of it, you make something of it. And she changed the world. She changed the face of the church. She did what could not be done at that time. I'm telling you, women didn't preach in those days. And she stood on the platform with thousands of people at the Full Gospel Businessmen Convention. And as Edgar would say, she'd put her bony finger in the air and point at somebody. It was way up there. My husband was sitting in the second row from the back, way up in the balcony. He said she was about this big on the platform. And she pointed just past him. She said, somebody right back there in the farthest back row is having their hearing healed. And he was sitting in front of a lady and two seats over, and he heard her ear go pop. Heard her ear pop open. And she got her hearing. Amen. Catherine carried something from heaven. And she wasn't afraid to release it through a word. Because a word of knowledge, it's not just information. It is a vessel of power. It carries healing. It carries deliverance. It carries change. Okay? So I love you. God loves you. I think I'm done with the preaching part. And everybody said, Amen. No.